Hey, you, wake up. It's Saturday morning and it's time to jump on that to-do list. But that home improvement project doesn't have to be a chore. Before you jump in, tune in here to About Your House to listen and learn from the most experienced and reputable contractors and service providers in the industry. On today's show, we got Ray Terry riding solo today. Hacksaw's going to be making some appearances, so stay tuned. You won't want to miss it. About Your House is brought to you in part by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. Also brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina. From the hills to the coast, if you have a problem, they have a solution. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us as we spread a little love. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
Get up, go outside, enjoy the weather. Oh, this past week, if you didn't get outside, you missed a great week. I mean, to me, it was perfect. End of summer weather, kids start to school Monday. Next week's going to be hotter than heck. So if you didn't enjoy the past week, I'm sorry, we got hot days ahead. Because it was absolutely, the past 4 days have been killer days. Beautiful weather. Absolutely beautiful. Perfect. End of summer. And a lot of families, a lot of activities this weekend, I'm sure, out on the beaches. Well, on the beaches, on the lake. Lake Norman, Lake Wiley, Lake Murray, Lake Tillery, all the lakes, and everybody out enjoying the last weekend before school starts. School buses on the road. Yeah, oh boy. I think I'll hibernate Monday. But that's okay. Kids are starting to school, and I got a lot to talk about today. School's going to be one of the topics. You know, I got to talk about put tools in schools because school is starting. But I'm going to talk about things that concern your house, your home. The first hour, I'm going to talk about kind of a continuation of last week, just kind of going another direction. As you may recall, last week's show I had Matthew Query on from Freedom. Well, he's moving into Freedom Contracting because of all the, well, he just didn't enjoy home inspections as much as he has enjoyed working in with projects. And we're going to talk about that, too. But the point was, he made a point of how we talked about quality of construction, the quality of new homes, like subdivision homes and mass builder homes, and the complications of quality or lack thereof quality. Now, I'm not saying all of them. No, that's not what we're saying. But the fact is, the poor quality has become a problem, a big issue in many, many different ways. And we talked about that. And, okay, along those lines, we're going to say why. Or we're going to talk about some of the whys and how it's a serious issue. It is an absolutely serious issue we've all got to deal with. And it's hit home more for me. And just in the past week, which I'll talk about as well, but there's so much to talk about. Holidays ahead, yeah. Well, September's just a week away. And then we got October, November, December. Might as well, you go into big box stores, they already got Halloween hitting the floors and stuff. So, you know, it's ridiculous. But anyway, I'm going to talk a little bit about the holidays coming and the cooler weather ahead, you know. But I'm checking my notes. I made notes for today's show because I'm solo and I want to keep it moving and talk the third, right into the late second hour, third hour. I'm going to talk about out of sight, out of mind. We're going to talk about your house. We're going to talk about those things. Probably talked about them before, but a collective list of things that kind of, not kind of, they're out of your sight, out of your mind, but yet they play a big role in your power bill, your environmental issues, your environmental toxins, you know, just so many things that they concern, your water bill, power bill, I said that. But you get the point. Now, hang around. We'll talk about that on into the show. So that's what we're going to talk about, a lot of stuff. But I want to talk about the lack of knowledgeable labor and the lack of quality services. And I'm going to go into it because I get a lot of information on this topic, obviously, because of Put Tools in Schools. And every bit of it has an impact on the initiative behind Put Tools in Schools. But more for me, it's a mental thing, but we're going to talk about that a little later. Let's talk about the raw facts. And I got an article this week from the HVAC industry, heating and cooling industry, okay, which is big. I mean, Charlotte's got 4,700 companies out there servicing and giving you technical and physical support on your comfort systems, okay? And the Bureau of Labor Statistics projects there'll be over 37,000 technician job openings each year until 2032. 37,000 each year until 2032, while around 30 million Americans turn 65 during that same period. I've said it many times that we need teachers. We need mentors. And unfortunately, they're getting older and they're going away. I'm one of those people. And baby boomers are pretty much going away. And you can tell it too, because baby boomers old school is going away as well. But that's a whole nother show. But the numbers are just part of the problem. I mean, those numbers are staggering, but they affect each and every one of you, because when you call a service company, you want that service company to come out there and give you service in professionalism, in knowledge, in the ability to give you a good comfort system and give you the service you should get by a professional company. Well, that's hard. That's getting harder and harder to come by, because things have taken the front seat, and primarily money. And why? And first of all, why don't we have people entering the trades? Well, I've talked about it thousands of times, and I'm talking about, and not only, and let me say this, the topic I'm talking about right now is just not for HVAC technicians. It's plumbers. The electrical industry is always needing help, but the electrical industry seems to be getting more apprentices and internships and more interest, and I don't know why that is, but it's a fact. But the HVAC and the plumbing industry both are hurting unbelievably. I mean, it's staggering how bad it is. You know, plumbing instructors, a lot of schools would love to have an apprenticeship program or a plumbing program in their school, but they can't get instructors. Okay, 65-year-old guys with 40 years of experience are retiring. So who's going to teach these young students? What young students? First of all, we've got to change the image of the industry to draw young students in. and make it appealing, because it is appealing. It is fun. But they don't know what they don't know. Okay. The problem. This is a big problem. And this is one we've talked about many times on the show here. Now, experience is one thing. But what are you trained to do? Because this whole problem is exacerbated by a cultural shift to prioritizing sales over everything else. Now, what am I talking about? I mean, these technicians, so-called technicians, are taught on how to sell, upsell, and sell you something you really don't need than they are to go in there and fix the dang problem and take less time, less money out of your back pocket and get on the road. No, they're there to sell you. Unfortunately, folks, this is a big, big problem. And it's right here. This isn't Ray Terry talking. Although I hear it all the time, week after week. You know, and online today, the majority of the posts are about selling and flipping, about making money. The tendency to spend all this time and money teaching techs on how to upsell, and the technical training kind of goes by the wayside. And this is happening. I'm sorry. Priority number one should be doing what's best for the customer, even if it means not selling anything. But we're taught to sell.
I think it's also, it's those companies, you know? I mean, like,
it's corporate America.
Well, it is. That's the problem, especially in the trades business today, is with these bigger companies. You know, they're salespeople. You're not just a handyman anymore. You have to sell, because it affects your numbers. It affects, you know, how much money you get and everything else, because everybody's commission based.
Everything's about money.
It is, unfortunately.
And that is
yeah.
Look, as I sit here and tell you this, folks, I'm not against money. I'm not against making money. I'm against stealing it.
Well,
taking it unscrupulously, or is it? I hope that's a good word. But you get my point. When you come and look, like I said, I see it all the time. I know that some technicians out there, and I've had one on the show that comes in here and tells me all the time, and even Gary Crump, he goes out and repairs and services air conditioners day in and day out, that all they need is a capacitor and a few little nuts and bolts turn, and I don't mean that literally. I mean it's not that involved or should be that expensive but if you get a technician out there, they want to upsell you. There's more to it than that.
Yeah.
And it's just wrong. Well, look, first of all, we shouldn't be focusing everything about sales. We need to be teaching craft. We need to be teaching the trades, how to work with your hands.
Well, it's like the same when you go to a mechanic. If you go if you go to like a family mechanic and all that, yeah, they'll take care of you and say, hey, I just need this problem fixed. If you tell them, hey, that's all I want, I don't want anything else, they'll normally take care of it. If you go to a car dealership's mechanic, they're always going to try to upsell you. Like, hey, you know, your oil change, you need oil changing, so we'll do that. But we also notice your air filters are needing change, and this is needing change. You mind if we do that? No, I don't. I don't want you to do that, because that's more money.
Well,
so, I mean,
that's
the same thing.
On that note, yes, you're exactly right. Okay. But that ties right into what I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely.
About the industry as a whole has turned more to money making than it is taking good care of our customers. And that's the problem here. We're teaching that.
Yeah.
And it trickles into automotive as well. Don't trickle. It floods into automotive, because automotive is just like having an automobile is just like owning a house.
Got to take care of it.
You've got to care for it. If you don't care for it, it's going to cost you a lot. And I've been there. Oh, gosh, how many times? And today's, we're talking trades. Automotive is a great trade to be in. Great. But it doesn't have to be a ripoff artist either.
Yeah. I think that's also on us, though, Ray, as well as a society, to have more common sense on that stuff.
Yeah.
Because if you go to the mechanic and say, yeah, I don't need all that. Like, if you know your car and you know what you need, you won't get upsell. You won't.
It's just like being intimate with your house.
Yes. Like,
same
if you
concept.
Know what you need.
If you know your car. And therefore, what's the big important thing? We've got to start being smarter as consumers. Smarter and less fearful.
Know what you buy.
Know what you're getting and know why you're getting it. And understand that, you know, don't buy into fear tactics.
Yeah.
And they're prevalent. They're so out there, it's unreal. Fairness, where has it gone? Where has our empathy and compassion for our customers gone? I know we need to make money.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. And you need to make decent money for what you're doing and the intelligence and knowledge that it's taken you to get to where you're at. I respect and honor that because I be one of those people.
Yeah.
And always have been. Go out there and take care of your customer and give them what they should get. Charge great money for it. But don't rip people off. And Lord of mercy, I could sit here and tell you it's in every aspect of what you buy in your home, you know. And there's scam artists. Oh, there's technicians out there. They go out with a mindset in the morning with dollar marks. It's a shame. But this is what's taken over some of the larger companies, okay?
Yeah.
And we're not paying enough attention to training our men and our technicians. One, they're trained to show up on time. They're trained to look pretty,
mm-hmm.
and you should. I love it.
Yeah.
I think that's great. But they're also trained to upsell.
Yeah.
So you take it where you want
they're
to.
They're kind of trained to, like, keywords. It's like if they hear you say, hey, this is the problem, they go, oh, well, I have a solution, but here's a better idea. And,
right.
like, that's how it is. I mean, let's in the corporate world that I'm in right now, it's the same thing. I have to isolate a problem and go, oh, well, here's a solution I have for you, and I have to upsell.
That's all we really do as technicians. We're problem solvers.
Yeah, that's exactly what
we're
we
repairmen.
Are.
We're handymen, and we can fix things. But we're trained and taught how, and we're taught about the products and how to repair them. But the only way to learn is do it.
Mm-hmm.
Is do it. It's the only way you're going to learn anything. Is to actively engage and do something, and you're going to mess up too. We'll talk all about it when we come back right here on About Your House. And we'd love to hear from you. Like to create some conversation here. 704-227-8986. 704-227-8986. Right here on Fox Sports Charlotte, Fox Sports Radio Charlotte.com, YouTube Live, Facebook Live. On About Your House Radio.
And leave us a comment on Facebook as well. We'll read it on the air.
Facebook Live right now. How y'all doing? Okay, good morning to y'all. Get up. Smell the roses. Let's talk. Welcome back. You know, I was talking about, you know, the money the money grabs. And everything we do today, everything we do in our culture is all around money. I've had way too much time on my hands to do research and study and go into these issues around the culture of money. But, you know, we have been fed a line about money that's absolutely got us crazy as a culture. I mean, because everything we do is about money. And common sense has pretty much gone away. I don't know, and we're indoctrinated in our education system to be the way we are. I hate saying it, and, you know, I'm not trying to upset people, but by no means, but I've lived a life, and I paid attention. I use my brain, I think, and my gosh, in today's conversation, in today's world, let me put it this way, it's real simple. You know, what's the largest industry in America? What is it? What's the largest industry? What's the largest corporate industry in America? What is it?
I'm going to guess banking or weapons.
Well, you hit one of the topics, and that's weapons. So the military industrial complex.
Yeah.
But that's never talked about, and that's not what I'm talking about. But there's two that are probably the largest industries in the country, but the largest industry in the country, and it's a service industry. But it's taking your money hand over fist because you're the customer. What is it? What am I talking about? Tell you what, you can call in. I'll even make that a question for a meal ticket. 704-227-8986. And what I'm talking about, second probably, or tied with or close to, the military-industrial complex. And although that's not talked about as being a big money-making organization, but good God, it is. But what industry is it? And you're the customer. See, you're not the customer with the military-industrial complex. But what I'm talking about, you are the customer. What am I talking about? 704-227-8986. A meal ticket for McCoy's Smokehouse and Saloon. Great barbecue. Great daily specials. Just great, great, great. Good stuff. McCoy's on Old Palmer Road, right there at Woodlawn. Call me up. I'll come eat with you. 704-227-8986. We got a caller.
He said it's health care and hung up.
Really? So. Okay, he didn't want the ticket.
I guess not.
You got it. It's health care. And I'm sorry, but somebody called up, said health care. Listen, that should scare the bejesus out of you. Somebody, you know, and it does me, and it has for years because I've known this for years, and they want to keep you a customer. Well, that's just like everything else about your furnace. They want you. Everybody wants comfort. But more than that, in rural America, we got wells, water. You're at the mercy of a well digger in the country. We had Uncle Red on the show for years. You know, one of the biggest money grabs were well technicians sometimes because they got you. You're not going to live without water. And I understand that. But we need to be smarter. And this ties right into going back to the trades, ties right in with knowledge. We've become a bunch of stupid people. People don't like it when I say that, but it's true. That we just depend on other people to come to our house and do the right thing. When we don't know anything about anything these days other than how to punch in on your smartphone and stuff and go to Google and Google it and find out that way. And that's okay, I guess. I mean, so my point is we're being taken advantage of and they're getting your money. And then around the hospital, the medical, the largest industry in the country is healthcare. So then what's around health care? What other industries about health care, around health care? Insurance. Insurance. So you got another money grab and another money grab, and it's all around your sickness. Are you getting the picture, folks? And you got to go to the doctor. And you go to the doctor these days, and the doctor won't give you 10 to 15 minutes because they're on the priority schedule about all around what? Money. So the bottom line is.
Or you might not even see your doctor. You might be virtual. Yeah. You might not even get into the office.
And see, we're all doing this every day of our lives and chasing our tails around what? Money. You got to sit on the phone and talk about insurance for maybe an hour or two. And then you got to follow back up on it because you got to do this form or that form, and you got to do this. You're constantly chasing your tail over insurance documents and money. Not everybody. It's not terrible, is it? I think it sucks the way we've become victims, literally. And we're not customers. We're victims of a culture all around health, and then we're not eating and taking care of ourselves, so we're in dire need of health care, and that's the way we're living. Hey, I went to the drugstore the other day, and just go to the drugstore and look at all those bags or whatever they're in. I mean hundreds and hundreds of bags, and each bag contains pharmaceutical drugs. Some of them, granted, are life-saving drugs. Now, it sounds like I got off on a tangent when I really didn't. It's all the same because it's all things we need every day. But what do we need? What do we really need? We need to be happier people. Now, I'm going to go another direction, and it's around put tools in schools, okay? How do we change what's going on? I took on a student, you might say, last week. It just kind of happened, and I think the universe, thank God, had a message for me and said I needed to do this. So I did it. And you'll meet him at some point. He's a 20-year-old young man. His name's Jaquan. Jaquan came in my life really 7 years ago when I met him over at AG Middle School. I talked a little bit about this last week. But this week has been a tremendous, tremendous learning experience and a very sad week for me as well, and I'll explain. But I took Jaquan, this 20-year-old young man that needs a high school diploma because COVID kind of got in the way of him ending his school. You know, he's graduating from high school. But that's okay. Not a big deal. It happened to a lot of kids. This Jaquan just exemplifies what is going on all out there in our school system, in our culture, in our communities, where we've got these kids that are lost. Not all kids are lost, but a lot are. But more than lost, regardless of what family setting they come from, cultural background, whatever, they're all not being taught life skills. They're not being taught basic core values. They're being taught memory. Now, how do we change this? We let our kids know of options other than what they're forced to do. Now, look, I can't change the education system. I'm not out to, well, I would like to change it a little bit. I would like to add items to their menu of learning. That's what we're talking about. Well, Jaquan came to me, and naturally I've got to find out where his baseline knowledge is. Can he read a tape measure? Can he count to 20? Can he multiply 3 times 21? You know what I'm saying. I just got to find out baseline. Well, the fact is he's got a good head on his shoulders, but he's never been taught to think. Now, I've known this for years. Because I've worked with other kids, I've talked to other kids and young adults. And what we're taught to do in school today is listen and obey and do what you're told and memorize these facts because we're going to test you on them. And then that becomes data. And our kids are going by the wayside and not being taught much about real life. I know this because I experienced it this week. Only with one child, and I can't make that one child all childs, all children. Can't do it. But I know this. He's a sponge, and he's willing to learn. But here's the problem, going back to the educational aspect of it. Where are we going to get the teachers? Because school starts Monday. School starts Monday from CMS, and these kids are all going back to school. And in Charlotte, North Carolina, there aren't many hands-on activities for kids in school today, other than classroom and academics, to make the scores on the tests good, okay, to make the educators meet their numbers. And believe it or not, schools' funding is based on the numbers and headcount. Back to money. Where are we going to find the instructors to train and educate these kids on everyday life skills, such as plumbing, electrical, infrastructure facts, well diggers, welders, drywall experts, painters, concrete workers, masonry workers? It goes on and on and on. And folks, I got a clue for you. Robots can't replace all those tasks. They won't, they can't, they never will. They might try to replace some of them, but you can't do it because even the robots need repair. Someone's got to build the robots. So you never can replace the human element in servicing. You can't. Regardless of what they might tell you, and put more fear in you of losing your job. Just switch up. And here's the key to that. When you learn to work with your hands and your mind and critical think and problem solve, you become a creator, a problem solver, a problem resolver. I mean, you just become very, very needed and very functional and very purpose-filled. And that makes you happy. That's human nature. We're not doing that. And it's affecting you as a homeowner because you need to call a company that's going to meet your needs and give you the service you should get. Fair service. Reasonable service. Yeah, you're going to pay for it. You have to pay for things. We all do. And you should make great money. And here's another thing that bugs me about where we're living and how we're living. Why is it the worker bees don't get taken care of? Why? I don't get it. But it's changing because it's like, I'll just take radio, for example. Where's the talent going? It's going by the wayside because they can't pay them. Well, isn't radio about the talent, about the entertainment value, about the community involvement around it? Where did it go? They're not taking care of them. If we don't take care of our employees and pay them decent, well, what do you pay them for? You pay them for quality customer service. No, we got to upsell you to substantiate it. We've gone a little haywire here, folks, and we've just got to go back up a little bit and change the image and offer career pathways, working with your hands and your mind and critical thinking. Because these kids aren't taught to think. They're taught to obey and follow instructions. Same thing. And it's a fact. And teachers are frustrated at the fact. They really are. Teachers, I applaud you. I love you. I'm sorry. You have to fight to do the right thing. And, you know, it's like put tools in schools. We can't do this without industry support. Now, here's the quagmire about that. I've been working on this personally for some time, and it might sound like sometimes I'm a little crazy about it, and I probably am. I do get passionate, and I do get a little ranty sometimes. I know that because it's very frustrating. We've got an event coming up we've got an event coming up at Mount Pleasant High School, September 19th, Thursday, September 19th, and we're going to do a trades career day. And I'm very excited about it because we sent out a mass email last week. And thank you, Jack Silas, for your involvement with Put Tools in Schools on the board. And he has embraced the website, puttoolsinschools.org, and we're making it work. And I'm so happy. Because another fact in life, you can do nothing alone. You can accomplish nothing in today's world by yourself. Oh, I'm talking about things that matter. I'm not talking about day-to-day things like sweeping and cleaning your room up or something. Yeah, you can do that by yourself. But to create and perform in life and do and create service, you've got to depend on other people. Be it through a supply chain, materials, tools, whatever. I did learn something this week trying to teach. And this is a fact that I really haven't embraced because I've taken it for granted. And I've talked about it and criticized it, and that's technology. A child today will not learn completely or be able to go forward without technology. That's a laptop, a computer. A cell phone's not good enough because it might be, but I've never taken it to that degree because I've had a computer. But a computer is absolutely essential in learning today because certain requirements, like the GED, you can do a lot of that online. You can do 95% of it online. Well, if you don't have a computer, it's harder to do it online. You know, so that's essential. You've got to have technology. I mean, it's just essential. I haven't talked about the toolbox yet, but industry, I'm going to go back to industry's involvement. We're having a trades career day at Mount Pleasant High School down in Cabarrus County. Now, dealing with that has been like, why do we have to do all we have to do to get into school to embrace kids and just show them a day of trades? Why does that have to be so difficult? Well, one, industry. You do an outreach to industry, please get involved and help us. Doesn't cost you anything. It costs you because you're going to supply employees from your company to show up and engage the kids. So what's the payoff for you? Folks, if we don't embrace this problem, it's going to get worse. It's already terrible, but it's going to get worse. And the kids, what about them? Have you talked to your child? Do you tell him where he's going and what he's going to do? Can we offer him options on what they may like, what they may even love to do? As I've worked with Jaquan this week, I've asked him a lot of questions. What is it you want to do? He wants to work with his hands. And you can see it. I mean, he comes, he does what I tell him. Does he mess up? Yeah, because he doesn't know core values. He doesn't know basic work ethic. He does. It's like I see a lot, kids will stand around and wait to be told what to do. They've got no leadership, and therein lies the mentoring issue I'm talking about, the teaching element, because teachers in school don't teach the trades or engagement. Even in art, art's terrific. I love art. Always did. But they're even trying to take it out of some school systems. And this is part of what we're dealing with. We keep putting more academics in and taking hands-on out and creativity. Now, I know I'm carrying on about this, but it's become a problem. Although, it's a new year. Put Tools in Schools has a plan. Just get out in the communities and surrounding counties. But, there again, industry needs to show up. I'm sorry I can't give you a payoff. There again, it's chasing money. It's all about money. Well, you're not going to get labor in the future if you don't step up and get involved. Because the associations, you would think, and here I go sound like a critical man, and I'm being critical because the associations around our industry, AGC, the Association of General Contractors, the ABC, Association of Building Contractors of the Carolinas, NARI, NAWIC, National Association of Subcontractors. I mean, I can go on and on and on. IEC, the CET, well, Carolina's Electrical Training Institute. I mean, I can go on and on and on and on and on and on. But we can't find electricians, we can't find plumbers unless we expose these kids to the opportunities. And like I said, once you learn to work with your hands and your mind, it's limitless what you can do and what you may want to do. And I'll give you a great example. We had a guest on the show, Todd Chedister with Dwell Inc. I commend him for what he's doing for a business plan. He's developing a company that will help you, a homeowner, in Charlotte, North Carolina, maintain and take care of your house. Got a great format working, got a great business plan, great service, but guess what his problem is?
Can't find help.
Can't find help. Can't find smart labor. Well, it just so happens that I met a young man about 3 months ago, and I found out he is having the same problem a lot of men are having. He's kind of indecisive at 40 years old, doesn't know which way to turn and which ends up, but he wants to work with his hands and his mind. So I work with him on a job or two. You know, I get him to help me. See, I've become this, I just want to help people become the best version of them they can be. So he stepped up, but I'm going to end it here and take a break. And I'll come back and tell you the rest of the story about old Kevin. But now he's on a pathway. I'll tell you when to come back. You're listening to About Your House, Fox Sports Charlotte. Give us a call if you want to be a part of the conversation. 227-8986. That's 704-227-8986. You're listening to Fox Sports Charlotte. Pull us up online or download the free app. Online, foxsportsradiocharlotte.com. Download the free app, Fox Sports Charlotte. Just plug us in, stream us. That's by far the best way to hear us. You can hear us anywhere on the planet. And if you got your screen up, your computer, you can go on Facebook Live and YouTube Live on About Your House Radio stuff. Okay, you got it now. Give us a call, 704-227-8986. We got more to talk about. Come on back.
You said no strings could secure you at the station.
You, who are on the road, must have a code that you can live by. And so, become yourself.
All right, welcome back. Before the break there, I got a caller, and we'll get to that in just a sec, but I want to finish what I was saying. I got a young man that, you know, befriended me, came over to the toolbox, and we talked, and he helped me on a couple jobs, and I saw how able he was, how smart, how he had a creative thinking, resourceful mind, and I could see that, but yet he didn't have the depth and experience. He needed more experience, but he had some. Anyway, long story short here, he is now working with Dwell Inc. and helping them in various ways, and he loves what he's doing. But I made the call to Todd and said, you need to at least interview him because I think he would be a good fit for you. And see, there's a great example of, you know, we've got to teach. We've got to take these young people and under our wing and teach. And so where are the teachers? How are we going to do it? How is industry posturing themselves to teach tomorrow's talent? First of all, we have to change the image of what we're doing. We have to change the image of what the trades are all about because they're not lesser than. You educators that put trades lesser than, you're messing the kids up. It's not. It's not at all. It can be more than. But let's go to the phones and talk to Tony. Hey, Tony, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am marvelous. Do you have a question or something that I could possibly help with?
Yeah, you know, I was wondering, back when I was in school, and most of my family actually got into what they're doing, it seems like, by this. But whatever happened to automotive shop, you know, and wood shop and then distributive education? I tell you, a lot of everybody, when I was a senior, they would leave about 11. I'm from the hills of Kentucky, but they would leave about 11:30 in the morning and go out to where they're, you know, what they're going to do, either car repair, HVAC, you know what I mean?
Yes.
I was just wondering whatever happened to that.
Well, they actually, Tony, they still exist in certain areas of the country, no question about it. They have diminished somewhat, but they're on the all of this is changing. Every bit of this is right. going to come back. It has to, because of what the discussion yeah. I'm creating this morning, right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, it is dire straits out there for lack of talent and critical thinking and service. I mean, our kids today, and you ask a question, where did it go? Well, in Charlotte, North Carolina, they removed it in my opinion, only mine, education has turned into a big cash cow. It's the largest debt holder in our country today amongst young people. It's college debt. And it's not working. It's creating a more of a quagmire and confusion amongst the youth of today. And they've talked about it right here on the show, they being my guest. You know,
right.
Now I'm not saying college is a bad thing at all. But it's got to be used for what it's used for, and that's your success and, most of all, happiness and future. But that's
right.
not what it's
right.
become. It's become status quo. It's become a cash cow. And it's money, money, money. And that's kind of my directive around the first hour this morning. Everything we're doing, we're chasing money. You know.
Yeah. I tell you, if they, in my mind, it actually comes down to, you know, I know like the idea of tools in schools, but I remember when we had the adequate amount of personnel to do these things. I mean, my uncles, they're drywallers, my cousins, HVAC,
right.
my other cousins working on natural gas, you know, and all this was learned through, and then of course, automotive shop and things.
But,
and there's a great place up in Iredale County where I live, it's
right.
called Cats. Yeah.
Yep.
And I think that's where that should go.
Programs are out there in rural counties. Matter of fact, one of our goals with Put Tools in Schools this year is to do some outreach. I've got two counties so far, Gaston County and Cabarrus County, sent me a list of what high schools have got, what programs in them, and they are prevalent. They do exist around the Charlotte metro area in different counties, Iredale being
right.
one of those counties. And there are good
right.
programs out there. There are good instructors out there, but they're few and far between. And as the trades, the old people retire, the old school people retire, no one's coming back in. The numbers are
yeah.
staggering. And even in automotive, same thing. What do you do,
yeah.
Tony?
Well, actually, I'm an oral surgeon. I went
there
into
you go.
Oral surgery. Yeah. But I tell you what, it's like I worked in tobacco before that with my cousins. You know what I mean? And,
oh, yeah.
And so you're right there, too. You don't see a lot of people being ushered in or mentored into that either.
Well,
anymore.
we've kind of lost the skill to teach a work ethic. Work ethic, nobody is taught to work anymore. It's academics. And, you know, look, I'm all, if it works, fine, but it's not working. Kids are not
right.
happy. We're not getting what we need as people, a community. We're not helping each other. And this
yeah.
is a fact. It's
yeah.
not me talking. I'm just telling you what I see, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get it. I get it.
And, but we got to
totally
fix
it.
We've got to fix it.
Yeah.
Well,
I appreciate you bringing it up. I appreciate you getting it around. This is awesome. So, because it's something everybody's thinking about now. You hear it all the time.
Oh God, there's not a day goes by I don't talk to somebody, and it's funny because it's gotten to me to be, oh, okay, where are we going today? You know, on a talk, and people just
yeah.
and it's common conversation now about the issues we're all dealing with. And are we got? Has it gotten that bad? Yes, it has. It's gotten that bad.
Well, hiring people, you know, hiring people with skills. You hear about it all the time too, because it's that's the other thing too. You know, like you'll hear it a lot. Like there's just not as many people with skills that have been. It comes back to it. It really does.
But I'll tell you,
I just appreciate you doing it.
Well, thank you, Tony. I appreciate your support, and you know, we just keep at it. You know, and I made up my mind, and getting this young man, this 20-year-old, helping me has motivated me and given me greater purpose too. Because working with him is a, oh my gosh, it's not his fault. Yeah. No one's teaching.
Yeah.
And
he's an
example, and I'm going to take the time. Yeah. I told him, I said, if you show up, which is part of it, if you show up, I'll make a commitment to teach you. Because, and that's all it's going to take. Show up, but you got to be ready to be taught. And if you're ready to be taught,
right,
I'll teach. So I said, if we got a deal, he said, yes, sir. I said, good. So let's go. So
I think most of them would say that. I think most of them would say, yes, sir, I do.
Kids want it. That's the sad part, Tony. They want it.
They're sponges. They're sponges.
Absolutely, and they love it.
Yeah.
Man, I've seen it. I've witnessed it. I've been a part of it. It's just like, wow. And at the end of the day, I mean, you got your ups and downs, and you're going to have some issues. He blew up my bicycle tire because he didn't know what he was doing. I mean, we're laughing. It's a joke, right? I heard this. Pow!
I know. I did that with my dad once. That's why I'm laughing.
Yeah. See, but I came out. I said, "Is that what I think it was?" He said, "He held the inner tube sticking out the side of the tire, all blowed all up." You know. I said, "Yep.
Yeah.
That's what I thought I heard." He said, "It wasn't under there, right?" I said, "No kidding." You know. But anyway.
Yeah.
But that right there, that Tony, that's a great teaching moment.
Yes, it was.
It's a great teaching moment. Okay, you screwed up. What'd you learn? Well, I learned I didn't know what I was doing quite. I said, ain't you ever had a bicycle, boy? But anyway, it's been a fun week. But I love it. It's given me greater purpose and more vision to help these kids because we need to do it. It's a we thing, too. It ain't me. It's we.
We.
Yeah,
I just like the passion. I like your. I mean, it's the real. I was listening to you on the radio. I was like, man, that's some passion.
Sometimes it gets me in trouble, Tony. My passion in my mouth.
I've been there too.
Yeah, I bet you have. As an oral surgeon, I know you have. If you're in the medical arena, oh my gosh! How old are you, Tony?
I'm 57.
There you go.
I taught the residents down at Carolinas for a while, you know, and that's what they do. They still, a lot of kids that come over to the office and shadow, you know. Let them look and see if they want to do it, you know.
That's great.
All interested.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate you doing that because kids need that.
Yeah. I appreciate you. I really do. And you guys keep rocking.
Well, thank you, Tony. I appreciate you calling in today. I really do. Thank you.
Right. Thank you, brother.
All right. Take care. Be careful out there. All right. We're at the top of the hour break here, so we're going to talk more about this next hour. I got some things coming in the latter part of second hour, maybe into the third, but I got more to talk about. Digital Edge TV. Sam, you can call now. You asked me on the text, did you want me to call you? Well, I'm telling you because you're supposed to be listening according to your text. So, you know, call me. Well, let's talk about Digital Edge TV. We've got an idea that when we do it, it can be a great marketing tool for the trades. And we can give it and provide it to teachers. We can make it a teaching aid as well as a curriculum added. We'll talk about it. Sam Otero. You've heard him on the show here. He's going to come in here he's going to call in. We're going to talk a little about it because it's a tool that we, the industry, can use collectively to educate students way beyond these events. And Mount Pleasant High School event, we're going to be on site, live TV, with the students. I'm very excited about it. And that's a field in itself, too. These kids need that direction. You want to push the button? We're going to take a top of the hour break here. And we'll be back next hour. Is that Sam? He is listening. There you go. All right, we'll talk Sam Otero. Digital Edge TV coming up, and how can that, the whole concept of a TV on a podcast, elevate the awareness around the trades and working with your hands? We'll talk about it.
Awake yet? Hour two. Ray is going to continue talking about the labor shortage, the state of the industry overall, and Sam Otero is going to stop by to discuss his new media venture. About Your House is brought to you by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. Also brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina, from the hills to the coast. If you have a problem, they have a solution. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
Welcome back, hour number two. I lied. I said I was going to talk to Sam Otero and about Digital Edge TV. Well, I am, but he's going to stop by next at the end of this hour, coming into 10 o'clock hour, and we're going to talk more about it. It's a great concept, great idea. We're going to do it, but there again, it's a marketing tool for industry. It's a marketing tool for the trades. And it can be used very effectively with curriculum added. And we've got Sam, being an ex-teacher, used to teach, and he's done this before up, I think, in Pennsylvania. And it's a great concept. It's one that we can use enormously in Charlotte for marketing and awareness. Anyway, we'll talk about that coming up. But I was talking about my experiences here in the last week. Okay, last week with Jaquan. Jaquan's a helper I told you that I've taken kind of under my wing. He came to me via Pete Sheppel, which I'm grateful for, because it's what it's done to me is teaching me as much as I'm teaching him. He's an example of what we're facing in our youth of today. You know, I've told you about he blew out my tire on my bicycle. No big deal. You know, he learned, and it's just a bicycle tire, inner tube. But the reason these things happen, and the first day, second day he was there, we replaced the battery in my pickup truck because the battery was shot. We needed a new battery. Well, in order to do that, I had to put a new end on the battery cable to hook up on the positive side of the. But there's two cables coming in there, and they got to be clamped correctly and fastened down. And then you got to put it on the post, tighten it to the post. Well, I'm not going to stand over anybody and watch them. That's not the best way, especially when there's not a life at stake. Now, if I was a surgeon, it'd be different, but we're not talking about that. That's where it really matters on what you know. But this battery cable, hey, you know, I'm in at my computer doing some work in the office, and he comes in and he says, Uncle Ray, I think I tightened it too tight. I was taught to tighten real tight. I says, did you crack the clamp? He said, I believe I did. So I went out there, and sure enough, he had cracked it. It was no good. And I said, no, you over-tightened it. See, these are little things, folks, but they're big things. They're critical thinking things. They're things you have to think. And I relate to this very well because I think I've told you the story on the radio here about when I came up in construction, I had my first superintendent boss, supervisor, was Clayton Stokes. He was a man of many words and many jokes, but he was a very, very intelligent man, knew a lot about construction. And he pounded in my head every day to think. And now I look back on it and I see where it came from. You must think. And where kids today don't know how to think, and the reason being they're not taught to think in school. They're taught to memorize. See, thinking goes around action. Action. Service, purpose. You must think every day and be responsible for yourself and all of your actions. You must think ahead. Well, if you've got a damn cell phone in your hand, you're not thinking, you're responding. And that is what the kids do now. They respond. They don't critically think. Now, I'm not saying every kid, so don't go crazy here and say, my son doesn't do this, my daughter doesn't do this. You don't know what they do because you're not with them all the time. And they're going to tell you exactly what they think you want to hear. And I'm not saying all kids, but 90% of them, all you got to do is pay attention, folks. Now, I love your kids, and you love your kids, and you want them to grow up to be the best they can be, but they can't grow up being doing everything you tell them to do. They must be independent, critical-thinking human beings to maintain happiness, purpose, service. We're not teaching that in schools, folks. Now, look, I'm not blaming the teachers. I'm not here ridiculing teachers. I love you all. Please don't go anywhere. Let's just change what we're doing. Digital Edge TV might be another little added benefit. We're going to throw it in the mix and see how it works. We'll talk about it. But working with Jaquan has taught me what he doesn't know. I'm speaking about him, and I got his permission to talk about him on the show. We talked about this. We discussed it. Because in my mind, he's the poster child of many, many, many other children. And now he's teaching me what I'm going to be confronting, going out here in the community, working with other groups, nonprofits, and what we and where I need help. And we need help from industry. There's got to be some elders out there like me or younger that are willing to step up and get involved and help. And that's what we need. We need that. The kids need that more than anything. We've got to do an outreach here with our children. And now back to industry and how you can help. We're going to have Trades Career Days. We've got one set up. We're going to set up another one next week, another one in Cabarrus County. Got a Union Prep School, I think, has asked questions in Union County. So we're going to be out in the outlying counties. And frankly, we would love to be in Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools, but... Well, we'll see how it works. I'm not here to cause problems. We're not trying to cause problems. We're actually trying to create a better. Why does this have to be such a fight? It's really simple. You set a date. You reach out to the industry, and you send out, I'd love to be able to send out 1,000 emails and say, who can show up? All we need is 8 to 15 companies to show up on a trades career day to actively engage and engage kids, students. Wake them up. Let them do something. Put a tool in their hand. Let them solder a piece of copper. Show them something. You'd be surprised. Do tile work. Cut tile. Mastic tile. Grout tile. Whatever. Electrical. All those things. Engage the kids. And 8 to 15 companies shouldn't be a big deal. Not around Charlotte Metro. No, but what am I going to get back? What's the return on my investment? Folks, the return on your investment are less kids killing themselves and more kids getting into the trades and help our labor shortage that everybody complains about every day and teach some kids how to critical think and live a happy life. Yeah, I'm passionate because it's lacking. So, there you go. What are we going to do? Well, I make a vow that we all take a responsible look at it and figure out what we, each individual, can do to help it. And we're talking about helping our kids. That's what this is really all about for me, is helping kids reach a greater state of mind and a happier life with more purpose, because it certainly makes a difference in a life. So, enough preaching. We'll get out of that. But let me talk about, on a personal note here, I've talked about the toolbox. What is the toolbox? Where most people know that I stay in a warehouse. In a warehouse in North Charlotte that's in an area that's a very good area for teaching. And kids can come and teach and be taught at the toolbox. Now how? Toolbox is a 4,000 square foot warehouse that's going to be a teaching lab. No curriculum, although we're going to center some stuff around the NCCER books, curriculum, call it what you want. But you got to have a basic guidepost for facts. We don't have to go in any order, not a lot of classroom. It's engagement. Teach them safety. Very first thing we teach is safety. But you know what's around safety? I keep saying you got to think. You can't be safe if you're not thinking. You've got to think. That's a requirement. Okay, the toolbox. What are we going to have in there? Well, we're going to have carpentry, woodworking. We got a donation of a bunch of tools week before last that are absolutely phenomenal tools. We appreciate it. Thank you. I wish I knew who did it so I could literally thank them personally. But I will. Thank you, Pete. Great tools. We got electrical going to be in there. We've got HVAC examples in there. We're going to have welding in the toolbox. We're going to have digital edge TV with marketing, video, technology is going to be in there, podcast studio for podcasting. It's going to be full of activities to show and display to kids and adults alike, drywall, painting. Everything's in there. Now, I'm going to tell you about this past week. My life throughout the construction industry was in this building for about the past 14 years. I originally rented this building to operate my business out of, the All Metal Driving Corporation, which I did. And that's probably 15, 16 years back. I started, time flies. My goodness, how it flies. Anyway, and at one time, I got a divorce. And I had to find another place to live, so I figured I could live there. So I did. And I have for quite some time. But now I'm transitioning because I'm actually getting older, believe it or not, as we all do. And I'm just looking to transition into I'm not saying retirement, because I'm not going to retire. I have no plans to quit what I'm doing because I love what I do. And I will continue to do what I do till the day I die. And at this point in time, I would like to say I appreciate and am so grateful for the support I've been given on this radio show that now has become the voice of Put Tools in Schools and the Toolbox every Saturday morning. No, I'm not going to focus on this alone, but it's the voice because, as Tony said, somebody needs to talk about it. Not everybody likes the way I talk about it, but I don't care. I still love you. And I'm doing this out of love and care for my community and fellow man more than anything else. I'm not getting anything from it. I am in so many ways because it's given me purpose and more strength and then more empowerment to help more kids because I see how bad it really is. So here we've got sponsors of this show, which I need more. We need more support, be it money, be it tools, be it a truck, be it equipment, be it whatever, because I said we need a computer. We need a computer at the toolbox. Jaquan needs a computer, but we're going to get one through community. We need donations. You can go on puttoolsinschools.org and donate right there. You can volunteer right there. You want an event at your school or high school, go online, check it out, see what we're doing. If you've got questions, call me. My phone number's there. All contact information's there. But you know what the major problem I hear every day is? What do you think it is, Rich? What do you think I hear every day more than everything else? What do you think it is?
I'm too busy.
And there's another problem we're all facing in this world we're living today. We're all too busy. Let's talk about busy when we come back, just a little bit. Talk about busy. I want to talk about busy. Because I talk about it all the time with people. We're just so busy. We'll talk. Busy. Fox Sports Charlotte, about your house every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Tune in. Next Saturday, I'll have a guest in studio. I'll tell you what it is a little later. But for now, tune in. Fox Sports Charlotte. Download the free app. Stream us live. Best way to hear us. Radio. Bye-bye. Now we're streaming. Fox Sports Charlotte. Fox Sports Radio Charlotte.com, YouTube Live, Facebook Live on About Your House Radio. We're there. Give us a call, 227-8986. That's 704-227-8986. Be a part of the conversation. Or you just sit there and listen. I'm just glad you're in tune. Thank you. We'll be back.
Makeup, high heel boots that lace up, two first names that came from her grandma's on both sides. She ain't never read much Faulkner, but she cut up Ed's daughter. She grew up on muddy water, Southern style. Southern style, free and easy. Southern style, woman. If you met her, man, believe me, you want her to stay a while. She said she don't believe in strangers, only sinners with the Savior. 'Cause her mom and daddy raised her Southern style.
All right, welcome back. You know, I was talking about before the break there, I think I was talking about the toolbox. During the break, you get hit with 40 limbs, 7 thoughts, because you're reading emails and all. And that gets into the too busy thing, as I was talking about. We're all too busy. The number one excuse I hear from everyone, everywhere, every day, oh, I'm just so busy. We're all too busy. That's another issue we're dealing with in the culture of today. We're all too busy. You working moms and single dads, it's struggle. It, right now in life, and right now I bring that up because that's part of the issue. We've got a lot of moms out there raising kids without men in the house. That's horrible. We've become a society of of divorce. And it's very detrimental to our kids because the male role models have gone away to a great degree. There again, if you don't believe me, you do the research. But every time I turn around, I'm dealing with someone that's a single coming from divorce. Look, this Ray Terry been married three times. I know all about divorce. It sucks. But I'll say this, and somebody says, well, how can you talk about relationships if you've got three failed marriages? My marriages didn't fail. Not in my eyes. It did in theirs. I didn't leave. They did. Was it me they left? It was trauma they left in their own mind. And I'm not blaming. I'm merely telling you what I've lived. We all have our issues. But the bottom line is I'm talking about our kids. How are we going to improve life for our kids for tomorrow? We got a problem. We have got a problem. What are we doing with our kids? That's what I keep talking about around Put Tools in Schools. Now, you do with it what you want. I'm not here to make anybody mad or piss you off or get you all upset and defensive. That's not my goal. My goal here is for people to wake up and see what the heck's going on, and let's fix it because we can do it. But I don't want my government doing it for me. I want us, the community, to do it. There's too many darn rules and regulations that we're chasing every day, and it only complicates the issue because we're too busy. What are we busy doing? What are you busy doing all the time, folks? We need to think about where we're, what we're doing. We're all chasing money all the time, and we have to because it takes money to live. But why is it gotten the way it's gotten? Corporate greed, control. Three major investment companies own all things. It's about money and control. How do we break away from the control our education system has pushed on our children and adults for three generations? See, as I sit here and say our students aren't learning, their parents didn't either. They went to the same type of schooling in this area, and I can only speak for Charlotte because it's where I've lived. And what's happened? So I'll end it and just tell you this. We've got to change it. Put Tools in Schools is entering a new school year, and we just want to help. We've got programs set up with West Boulevard Ministries, 25 to 30 kids. Center City 360, two programs around about 20 to 40 kids. And we have an opportunity to make a change in those children's lives just by showing opportunities and other pathways that they don't want to go to school like they're going to school. They're not happy. Those are just those kids. But Trades Career Days, we can go to a school, 8 to 15 companies from the industry. We'll do the legwork. We'll do all the legwork. All we got to do is show up. Companies need to show up. Engage the kids with some activities. Tell them, show them, talk to them, give them the benefits and all the opportunities around what they can achieve in purpose, success, happiness, because it's all there, every bit of it. But we just need to show them. And it's not confusing. It's pretty cut and dried. It's pretty simple. Why have we made it so difficult to accomplish these things? It doesn't have to be. The fear factor, we got to eliminate it. We got to stop this mess. We just got to. We got to change things. That's puttoolsinschools.org. And as far as Jaquan and the toolbox, we're emptying it. Last week I had to, as I said earlier, my whole life was in that warehouse. Well, I threw most of it away last week. All my paperwork, all my old business transactions, after 7 years, they're thrown away anyway. I don't know if y'all are aware of that. 7 years, all the tax records and everything else, the IRS gets rid of them. And I know this firsthand. Been there, done that. So all my stuff was thrown in the dump. It was very emotional for me. Very emotional. My whole childhood, threw it in the dumpster. I'm serious. But who wants it? Your children don't want that stuff. Do you want your mother and father's furniture, Richton? Do you want all that stuff?
I don't know if I want all of it. I'll take some of it, though.
Yeah.
Just for memories, nostalgia,
well,
all
know,
of
but
it.
See, my,
I don't care about style and what goes with whatever. If it sits, I'm going to sit on it. You get me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it means more to me than that.
But my son doesn't want my stuff, you know. My relatives are gone. And here I am. And you could say, well, you're at that point in life. Bingo! That's where I'm at.
Well, it's good not to hoard it.
But I'm getting rid of all of my everything. So I've become a minimalist. But it's sad.
It is sad.
It's sad that it ends this way, but I'm not the only one. And I bring that up because there's a lot of boomers out there that are going through the same thing. A lot. And I understand it. But I went through it last week directly, and I would have never done it. I would have never gotten this stuff out if it wouldn't have been for Jaquan coming along and giving me the motivation and empowering me to do it.
Well, doesn't it feel good, though, to get rid of it because there's less clutter?
It feels great to get rid of it, and it also feels good to teach someone around basic life skills. And that feels great.
For sure.
And when he's feeling it and knows at the end of the day, good job. And the mistakes, you bring them up, you learn from them, and you keep on going. So, you know, this is what we're doing with the toolbox. We're going to empty it completely and then rebuild it to be a learning lab. We're going to get industry involved because we need sponsors. We need help. And you say, what are we going to do with it? We're going to teach. We're going to expose people. We're going to have classes in there around drywall, around painting. Because you know what? Let's talk about painting. Painting a bedroom, painting a living room, painting a kitchen, painting cabinets, painting whatever. There's an art.
It's a lot harder than people think it is.
It's to do it correctly and well.
Yeah, for sure.
To do it well. You know, there's an art to painting. And there's not many painters relative to the need. And you know, everybody thinks they can be a painter. You know, if you got a home, oh, let's go get some rollers and paint. And you can. You're right. And should try. Go on YouTube University. Watch it done correctly.
That's probably the most attempted DIY, though, is painting, because it seems simpler than it is.
It is so easy to paint. And I've even asked this question on the show before. What's the number one thing that's the cheapest remodel you can achieve?
Painting.
Painting three walls, one color, and another highlight wall, a different color. Wow, pow, yow. You know. Speaking of that, I got to share something. Last week, this is good. Last week, I got a caller. Gary called and talked about his kitchen. He wanted to know if he could remodel and, you know, you remember the call?
Yeah, I remember.
Okay. Well, I set up on the time and I went out there. And great example of many things I talk about. Here, him and his wife, late 60s, okay? And they want to die there if they can. In other words, that's their house. And I pulled up out to the curb. And actually, I was pulling in the driveway, but she was leaving. But then as she was leaving, I said, why are you leaving? I won't talk to you. And she says, really? Well, my husband's here. I said, I won't talk to you, too, because why you – I'll talk to both of you. Kill two birds with one stone. She said, yeah, you're right. So she came in. And then anyway, but I told Jaquan from – because remember, I'm the mentor here. I'm the teacher. And I pulled up, and this house is really a good-looking house, well taken well care of. Maintained very, very well. Curb appeal, top drawer, yards cut, trimmed, cut, neat, painted, looking good, crisp, you know, well taken care of house. And I told Jaquan, I said, now when we go in this house, I'll tell you what you're going to see. You're going to see a clean, orderly, well decorated, and appointed, love that word, appointed house. Walked in, sure enough, just like I said. And that's part of the learning, because when you pull up the curb and you see that on the outside, normally you're going to find that on the inside too. So I go in and meet, you know, both of them. We talk. And I walk in the kitchen. Can't see nothing. The lighting is absolutely terrible. It's hideous. But the kitchen's nice. And I looked at the kitchen, and they have already done improvements through the years. They put granite on the top, new sink, you know, all that fancy.
The bells and whistles.
Well, they were builder-grade cabinets, and they weren't the best in the world, meaning they weren't top-drawer wood.
Well, that's what he was going to try and get rid of.
But I told him, I went and pulled drawers out and checked everything. No, you don't need a new kitchen. You need to see it like it is. And I said that literally. I said, the number one thing in this kitchen you need is lighting. And I think if you called a good electrician, now, and I said good being the key word. Now, see, all electricians aren't created equal in the residential arena because some electricians know how to fish wires and do things that a not-so-experienced electrician can't do it because he doesn't have the background or knowledge. Now, he can cut a hole in your wall and do all that and destroy your kitchen. Electricians can be real good at that, just, you know, cutting holes and all. And I'm not saying all electricians are bad or good or whatever, but let's face it. Hey, look, I've been doing this 54 years. There's some lousy electricians out there that don't give any thought. They're called dummies. You know, they just go in there and start ripping holes in the wall. Yeah, we can do it, but they didn't tell you they're going to cut 4-11-7 holes. Now, that might be required. And as I told Gary, I said, you may need to repair some holes. I told him that. I said, and let me get back to the topic at hand, is kitchen. So I said, the number one thing you need to do before you do anything, put a lighting package in this kitchen. And they said, what do you mean? Put 6 LED can lights in here. They're really not can lights anymore. They're surface lights, but put 6 of them here. And you will be surprised, just that alone will change the whole dynamic of this kitchen. Because you can see, and you've done very well. It looks great. Backsplash looks good. Everything looks good, but you can't see it. And they even counter lighting. He could use some counter lighting. And with today's LED technology and lighting being what it is, man, you can do so much. But anyway, I wanted to share that, and he agreed. But
did you look at the stump hole?
I did. You remember. But talking to him, you know, I also said, he asked me, could he do this work? And come to find out, Gary's a handyman. He is a carpenter. He is very talented with his hands. And he had built a porch on the back of his house. It was absolutely wonderful.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, yeah. Outdoor living area, great job. He did it himself with a son and looked great. So he really didn't have any problems. And he's also very crafty. He can fit, and I even called him and says, can you repair a drywall? He said, yeah, basic repairs. So he had put up crown mold, wainscoting, and all this stuff himself. So could he do it himself? He can do. And I told him on the cabinets, I said, I would get some accessories, pullouts, you know, and all the little bells and whistles. You can do that yourself. He said, yeah, I can. I said, that's all you need in your cabinets. Your cabinets are very functional. I mean, to be 22 years old, y'all painted the lowers and stained the uppers. It looks good. Colors. I mean, this is me. You live here. You spend your money the way you want. You can throw all this stuff out in the backyard and replace it for $80,000. I said, it's up to you. Yeah. I said, but when you do, you need to run a gas line over here and get your gas dual fuel range. And she laughed, and she said, oh, that would be nice. You know. But, yeah, Gary's pretty handy, and I'm gonna go give him a crown mold lesson. He said, I'm not sure about how to cut crown mold. I said, well, once you get it, you got it. I said, I'll come over here and spend about 30 minutes to an hour with you. You got a miter saw? He said, yeah, I've got a good miter saw. I said, good, that's all we need. I said, I'll teach you how to cut crown mold. He said, somebody told me you do it upside down. I said, if you're not using a compound miter saw, yes, you put it upside down. I said, I'll show you. It's easy. But you got to learn it. First time I put up crown mold was in the house in Gastonia and put it all up. I put every bit of it up, did a great job of installing it, but it was upside down, the crown mold. But the homeowner didn't know, and I didn't know at the time. And come to find out, I hung my first job upside down. I did.
It's a learning experience.
There you go. You learn, right? But I learned it later when I was putting some other up. Somebody said, you know, you just put that in upside down. I said, no. Well, I was only 20. I bet I was 23 when I did that. See, I was young. You live, you learn, you do. But the only way you learn is go to do.
And messing up.
And messing up. And it's okay to mess up. It really is. But in the toolbox, for example, we're going to teach cutting, wood cutting, and miter saws and how to operate them and how to cut crown mold and all that stuff. And we'll have classes. But here's the dilemma. One, industry's got to show up. We've got to work together to create this space. Two, who's going to teach the classes?
I was about to say, are you going to teach all of them?
No. I can, but I'm not.
It would take up a lot of time.
Well, I can't do it by myself. Like I said, you can't do anything by yourself. I don't plan to do all this by myself. I wondered the other day, what in the world have I got myself into? You know, but it's worth every minute of it. We've just got to get some help. We need more people on the board of directors to put tools in schools. We need more help. We need committees. We need work. There's things to be done. And like I said, we're just too busy as I speak about all this stuff. But hey, one day at a time, do what you can do. Do the best you can do. Be the best version of yourself you can be and just keep on keeping on. That's all
you can do.
And spread the love and don't get upset, because it's easy to get upset because law. The number one thing I do every day is wait for somebody to make a decision. But I'm too busy.
So overthinking.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Real quick here. Got a few minutes for the break. I want to mention the holidays ahead. I know you're saying, holidays? What are you talking about that for? Because Queen City Audio, Video, and Appliance, one of our sponsors and suppliers of the show here, is, to me, one of the best appliance dealers, specialist resources you can get in the Charlotte metro area. Been in the business since 1952. Family owned, the Player family. Great service, great customers, service at any store, and great direction and knowledge and all that stuff. But here's the point. If you're looking to update any appliances for Christmas, before Christmas, because your range is down, or you've given it some thought, but you hadn't pulled the trigger or hadn't gone to look yet, well, you better get with it to make sure you get it installed before the holidays. I'm just throwing it out there. And, you know, colder weather, speaking of the weather, we're going to get into the upper 90s next week. And then the week after that, they're projecting, well, let me go there. As September enters, we're going to dip down into the 70s during the day, the first week of September. So we're in the 90s next week. 97 is the high on Thursday, 96 on Wednesday, 94 on Tuesday. Hot first week of school ahead. I hope they got them air conditioners stoking at the schools, or the children going to be warm. They're going to be sweating in class because it's going to be warm next week. So crank them ACs up in the schools, you maintenance people. There you go. All right. And the week after, we're down into the 70s, which, God, that looks so good. Rain ahead, though. But we need a little rain. Won't hurt a thing. I could use a rainy day. But right now, and one more thing. I'll tell you that when we come back out of the break. Colder weather, brought it up for a reason. If you've got fireplace issues, gas log issues, you want to update, you want to... A new firebox, whatever you need, our great sponsor, Owens Chimney Systems, company to call. Get in line. Get in line right now. If you've got something you need in your fireplace, hearth area of your house, get in line. Owens Chimney Systems, one of our sponsors I'm so grateful for. Great company, great support. Thank you so much, Owens Chimney. Thank you so much, Queen City Audio, Video, and Appliance, for your support. There you go. We'll be back. More about your house right here, Fox Sports Charlotte.
by no machine. No, I never knew you at all. You had the grace to hold yourself while those around you crawled. They crawled out of the woodwork and they whispered into your brain. They set you on the treadmill and they made you change your name. And it seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind, never knowing who to cling to when the rain set in. And I would have liked to know you, but I was just a kid. Your candle burned out long before the legend ever did. That Marilyn was found in the news. And it seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind, never knowing who to cling to when the rain set in.
Lawman is putting an end to my running and I'm so far from my home.
Oh, mama, I can hear you a-crying, you're so scared and all alone.
All right, welcome back. Excuse me, I had to run out to the car to get my charger cord. I failed to charge my phone. You know, I tell you, we're talking a lot about tools and the future and our kids and all this. That smartphone, I watched Jaquan this week, and we get in the car, and what's he do? He gets his phone and looks down. Mm-hmm. Well, he's riding the bus over to the toolbox, and he got off the bus the other day and says, I don't know which way to go. He called me up. He said, I'm at the bus stop. I said, fine. He said, I'll start walking, but I don't know which way. I said, now, listen to me a minute here. Why don't you know where you're at? You've been over here with me down that road four times now, and you don't know. And I said, you know why? What do you do when you get in the car? What do you do when you get in the car every time? He says, and he looks at me like it's a test question. I said, what do you do? I get my phone. Right. And where do you look? At my phone. You don't pay attention to where you're at, what you're doing. You're paying attention to your phone. It's a distraction. It's a big distraction because you're not focusing on reality and life around you, where you're at, what's going on. You're reacting and responding to a screen. And he said, yeah. I said, you're not doing anything. You're not accomplishing anything. The communication you're performing, what's it achieving? It's all self-induced, selfish, self-centered, all about me. Am I right or wrong? He said, no, you're right. I said, do you see the distraction and you don't even know where you're at because of it? I said, son, I'm just telling you what I'm seeing. And he said, no, you're right. I says, well, stop it. Because it's not benefiting you. It's not allowing you to think and be in the moment. And that's where we're at, folks. That's what I see in restaurants. That's what I see wherever I go. And you see a group of people. It's none of my business what you do, except what it's not doing. And then again, he was walking, using his phone, and I was backing up. I said, and I looked at him, I said, you want to get hit? Because that's the way to do it. It's a big issue. You know, I know it's got its benefits, but my gosh, are we addicted to technology. And one tool, once again, that we can't be without is our phone. We can't. And coexist in the culture in which we live, in the time in which we live. You can't be in business. The most important thing we do every day is communicate. Everybody. And here's the sad part, too. Our kids don't know how. Now, that happened to me twice this week where I got a call. I told you, I get calls from industry people all the time talking about the youth, the issues. And I talked to a guy you've heard here on the show. He's got a business, and he's a guest on the show, and they hired one of his employees' son went to college for a short while, and he quit because he said, this ain't for me. So he needed a job, so they hired him. They hired him. And they couldn't send him out in the field because of his lack of communication skills. He just didn't communicate well. And see, there you go. Now I'm teaching Jaquan to communicate. I want him to listen to me, watch me, hear me on professional presentations. And he's going to come up here on the radio because communication is so, so key in being successful in today's world. But yet we're not teaching that either. Kids are afraid to communicate. They're afraid to say the wrong thing. And, you know, Lord have mercy me. And I'm going to tell you now the root of it, and I'm going to kind of get off my little soapbox about this. The root of it's TV, media, brainwashing. And it's the truth, folks. Say what you want. If you watch mainstream TV, I don't care who you are. You've been indoctrinated. Media has been weaponized. And guess what? Every problem I've talked about today on the show is on mass media, mainstream media, every one of them. Am I right, Richton, or wrong?
I agree with you 100%.
TV and media.
News, reality TV, anything you name it. It's distorted people's views of reality.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's out of control. But anyway, How do we fix it? I'll tell you one way we can fix that, too, is give kids better choices and give them opportunities outside what they're used to, because that's what Put Tools in Schools is about, throwing opportunities out there that otherwise they won't see or get even exposed to. So teaching them core values, basics. Show up, talk, speak, look them in the eye. You know, think. I'm telling you, you laugh when I say that, but it's true. It's like they don't think. They don't know how. We're not teaching them. Okay, enough about that. Sam Botero is in the house. He'll be in here in a minute. And Sam's a great guest today because I want to talk about, we're going to talk about Digital Edge TV and how we're going to use that with Put Tools in Schools. But since he's here, I'm going to use him because he just moved into a house. And Sam, a pretty handy guy, so he says. I hadn't seen it yet, but but I believe him. He'll attest to it. And I'm going to talk about out of sight, out of mind things next hour. Out of sight, out of mind. I'll give you a great example. Have you ever had a bathroom in your house you don't use much? You hardly ever go in that bathroom, but yet when you do go in it, it just smells. Smells like rotten eggs. It's kind of like sewer. Well, I'm going to tell you why. That's kind of out of sight, out of mind. You go in there and say, why is the bathroom stink? This happened this week. It's an actual true story that my secretary, Caroline, with Put Tools in Schools, we talk 3, 4, 5 times a week. And I don't know what I'd do without her because she's helped me tremendously. She's been a godsend, really. But talking to her the other day, she called me. Right here, Sam. Here, you're in the studio now, bub. Sit down. Behave yourself. But she called me up. She said, "Ray, I need your service." I says, "Well, talk to me. What you got on your mind?" She says, "My house stinks." It sounds like a personal problem to me. And she said, and then she pinned it. She got kind of narrowed it down. But I'm up against the clock here for top of the hour break. So what I'm gonna do is come back and next hour finish that little story and an out of sight, out of mind story. Sam Botero, welcome. Can you talk?
Yeah, I can talk.
That was a wild question.
It's can I not talk?
There you go. There you go.
I missed you.
You missed me.
I saw you looked so lonely. And I thought, okay.
Well, you're here, so I'm not. I wasn't lonely. I always got something to talk about. You know that. I can pull stuff out of the air.
Yes, you can.
Lots of stuff to talk about. Every day in my life. But right now, we're going to take a top of the hour break and listen to a few messages, I guess, and listen to my buddy Richton bring us into the third hour. And Sam Botero's in the house. We're going to talk about a little Digital Edge TV in the first segment next hour, and then we're going to move on to Out of Sight, Out of Mind. Excuse me, let me get it right. Out of Sight, Out of Mind, the things around the house that exist and you don't think about them. And then one day, pow, it slaps you. We'll talk about it. Come on back.
Grab another cup of coffee and join us for hour 3. Sam Botero in the house talking about media venture. And hey, I heard Sam's got a new house too, so Ray's going to be talking about that as well. And out of sight, out of mind. Hour number 3 coming up, so stick around. You won't want to miss it. About Your House is brought to you by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. Also brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina from the hills to the coast. If you have a problem, they have a solution. We'll share our knowledge and provide encouragement to improve not just your home, but every aspect of life. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
The older I get, the more I think. You only get a minute, better live while you're in it, 'cause it's gone in a blink. And the older I get, the truer it is. It's the people you love, not the money and the stuff, makes you rich. And if they found a fountain of youth, I wouldn't drink a drop, and that's the truth. Funny how it feels, I'm just getting to my best years yet. The older I get, the fewer friends I have. But you don't need a lot when the ones that you've got have always got your back. And the older I get, the better I am. And knowing when to give and when to just not give a damn. And if they found a fountain of you, I wouldn't drink a drop, and that's the truth. Funny how it feels, I'm just getting to my best years, yeah. The older I get.
Welcome back. Hour number three here. Thanks for tuning in today. Tim Hodges, thank you, brother. He put a note on the a comment on the Facebook Live comment section here. And Tim Hodges just heard Suicide Hotline just mentioned that there was a huge spike recently in calls from teenagers. I'm telling you, folks, we got a crisis going on, and it's not talked about in mainstream media. So that's all around what I've one of the incentives behind Put Tools in Schools is to give kids more purpose and happiness. And people say, what do you mean happiness? Well, I'm going to tell you something. When you create, when you use your imagination, when you're problem solve, it empowers you. Mm. It empowers you. It makes you feel useful. It makes you feel purpose-filled. And these kids don't feel that. I'm not the one saying it. I'm just relaying the fact. If you don't believe me, you do the research. We got a crisis about suicide right now. And part of it's what I've been talking about this whole show today. It ain't pretty. It's not a great topic. It's not one I'd like to even talk about. But it's got to be addressed. And that's what we've been talking about. So, Sam. Good morning.
Good morning, Ray.
Thanks for coming in.
Well, you know what? It was impromptu. I was on this side of town, and
there you go.
I thought, let me see if Ray would like some company. And I always enjoy being with you, Ray.
Well, thank you, Sam. Yes. Likewise. I met Sam. I don't know. We met probably a year ago indirectly, and then through the year we kind of meshed and mingled together, mm-hmm. and what have you, and then kind of hooked up on a professional, I guess it's professional level, and he's got a concept that, you know, he did up in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. wasn't it Pennsylvania?
Yes, sir.
And called Digital Edge TV, or it might have been called something up there, something a little different.
It was something else,
but,
yeah.
But basically the same concept, and tell him about the idea. You'd kind of unload here and just give him.
Well, yeah, before we talk about that, I just wanted to go back to your comment. You said regarding the crisis that we're facing in the country. Of course, this isn't anything new.
One of many.
You know, right?
Right.
But you mentioned that you're not hearing about it on the mainstream media. And I would like to add to that the mainstream media is part of the problem.
They are. Yeah,
it truly, truly is. And for me, you know, going back to my vision for this project, when I taught digital media, I really tried to focus on empowerment, this message of empowerment to kids, because, you know, so many of them would come into my program and they are, of course, driven by social media and they're driven by their desire to be famous and TikTok famous and whatever the case may be. And they had their influencers and there were people that they followed.
Right.
Yeah.
That damn smartphone.
Absolutely. Man. And so for me, it was something that I really, being very acutely aware and doing the research, how negatively it affects the cognitive function of a student, how it can lead down the road to depression,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
You know, you've got people threatening suicide and having really dark, horrible thoughts based on drop in their subscribers and their likes on social media. It's like this whole generation really is just sort of gone over the edge. And I would always bring up to my students, well, you know, why not? If you're interested in media and you're interested in production and you have a desire, why not let your desire that burns in you? And everybody's got something that's important to them.
Yeah, we're all creators.
Right.
Every one of us is
creators. How about this? How about instead of chasing popularity, feigning popularity, you know,
right,
fake it till you make it thing, and focusing on that and putting your entire being wrapped up into that, do something substantial. Do something substantive.
And
do something real.
That you love.
And exactly. Find that passion. You said it. And use your love of media to make the world a better place, to inspire people, to educate people.
Use it as a tool.
Use it as a tool.
Just like pair of channel locks on plumbing.
And
you know?
Find that purpose, right?
Yeah.
So that's what this whole Career Exploration TV show is all about, is, again, work. It's called Digital Edge Television, and the concept's very simple. We work with people that want to learn digital media and produce a career exploration television show that explores not just careers in digital media, but all sorts of different careers,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
And
make a podcast,
yeah,
broadcast around the trades and the opportunities of the professions, mm-hmm, available to these kids, be it the cyber media, cyber show. Show you've already done.
The cybersecurity was the pilot. Yeah. But I mean,
cybersecurity's big, and there's a pathway right there.
You know, what'd you say earlier? Out of sight,
out of mind.
Well, as an educator, a career and technical educator to boot, and the purpose was vocational education and helping students not only with their technical skills to become better at their trade that they entered in. It was about teaching them the life skills and the business skills that they needed. And part of that was doing proper career exploration. And I always did a module for a full 9 weeks every year where the kids had to dig in and explore different pathways within digital media. And inevitably, they would come back and go, man, I came here because I wanted to be a photographer, but now I've discovered this. I didn't even know that existed.
And photography's included in it. It wraps in there.
But what I find, Ray, and you probably see this too, there are so many different pathways. When you talk about careers in construction trades.
Sure, my gosh.
A program that we're working with right now is a culinary program here in Charlotte. We got a big event in 2 weeks. And
that's putting tools in schools too.
Absolutely.
Teaching culinary skills.
Right.
Because Jaquan, my student over at the toolbox. He didn't know how to cook. 20 years old.
Basic life skills, right?
Basic life skills.
And you can make money at it.
He asked me yesterday, he said, Ray, when did you learn to cook? I said, when I was 6 years old.
Yeah.
How'd you learn to cook? Well, mother slept late on Saturday mornings. We were out of school. I cooked. And he says, what's the first thing you cook? I said, pancakes. I said, I burned a bunch of them.
Sure.
But I learned. And then that started it. Pancakes and eggs. Because we're going to eat breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
I love me some pancakes when I can make them. He said, and that empowered me.
I was just going to use that word.
That empowered me
to
be a better cook as I grew up.
Right.
And now here I am, and I've cooked in the garden. Well, anyway.
You're right. It's about finding purpose. And we were some of the shows that we're going to be doing with that culinary program is exposing the students of the culinary program to different pathways within the culinary and hospitality world that maybe they didn't even know of. We're working with a gentleman, shout out to my friend Dr. Noah, who has an app called Kitchen Copilot, which teaches people these fundamental skills, right? It's a sort of a social media kind of format where they can share recipes and kitchen techniques and whatnot. It's very cool. And I was asking the students there last night, how many of y'all – we did an open house last night. How many of y'all are into technology? And, of course, they all – I mean, everybody loves video.
Every one of them.
Have you ever considered turning your love of food to something technology-based? And many of them didn't even think about that. You think of a restaurant. You go into a restaurant, right? You know how complicated those POS and menuing systems are?
Oh, God, yeah.
Right?
Technology.
There's big money in that.
And technology,
you know?
Yeah. Technology application around culinary.
Absolutely. And I found that most people that are engaging in a career exploration pathway – really do have a limit, and it's not their fault.
Oh no!
But they're not shown the big picture, and they're not
taught. They only know what they've been taught.
Exactly. So they have a very limited view of possibilities, and that's unfortunate. And that leads to the topic that you were bringing up, which is just a lack of hope.
But if we when, because we're going to do it, we're already starting to process this, and Sam's working with, actually he's become a board member of Put Tools in Schools. And I'm so happy because now I don't have to worry about who to call about the website. But anyway, there's perks. Anyway, the concept of this show is the first show we're working on right now is around electrical. Jeremy Johnson, Star Electric, stepped up to the plate. They're going to get some other resources because we got to fund this. We talked about donations around Put Tools in Schools. We talk around. It takes money. Sam's not doing this for nothing, and he shouldn't. And we talked about that. Everybody needs bucks. Everybody needs money. Okay, how are we going to fund it? We're going to fund it through industry. Industry's got to step up, but it's very, very affordable and very beneficial to the overall mission. Mission is exposing kids to different career pathways in the trades, working with your hands, your mind, critical thinking, imagination, service, purpose. You get the picture. And we can do it. And Sam, being a teacher from yesteryear,
yes.
You know, well,
seems
it was yesteryear.
So long ago.
But from he knows curriculum. He's going to tie curriculum into the package and offer this to education. Education being teachers. And we're going to do this on the show. We're going to bring you up to snuff. It will be posted on puttoolsinschools.org. All of this information. This is another tool about our community and how to raise awareness around the trades and the career pathways available to youth. Now, if we offer this to teachers, correct me if I'm wrong going here, Sam. We offer this to teachers in the educational arena. They can get these shows, show them to classes.
Right.
Literally broadcast these shows in classrooms and have the curriculum and add-ons, you might say, around education benefits.
Yeah, we bundle the final show after we do the live cast through Zoom, and people can – I mean, when we did our proof of concept last year, we actually streamed that the second show that we did on cybersecurity careers in the classrooms inside the Mecklenburg County Jail.
Right.
And I was like, that's kind of cool. That's powerful.
Right.
So what we do is after we do the live stream through Zoom, it's actually an interactive TV show. right? So people have that capability of interacting.
We're going to talk about that, but I got to take
a break.
I got to take a break here, but we're going to talk more about Digital Edge TV, and then we're going to move into the topic of out of sight, out of mind. If you own a house, this pertains to you.
Or out of mind, out of sight. How's
out
that?
Out of mind, out of sight.
Yeah.
Out of sight, out of mind, out of mind, out of sight. Either or.
I'm all over that.
It's all Sam being a new homeowner of an old home, and he can talk firsthand on some of these issues, I'm sure, and more. So come on back. We got a lot to talk about yet. More to come right here on About Your House. All right, welcome back. Talking to Sam Otero about Digital Edge TV and what we're going to do with it, with changing pathways or acknowledging pathways and creating awareness. That's what it's all about. Now, real quick, because I want to move on to my list here, but we're going to do a live show at the Mount Pleasant High School Trades Career Day coming up September 19th. That's Thursday, September 19th. Mm-hmm. Hope we have a great turnout of administrators show up and see what we're doing down there. But Sam's going to set up and do a live podcast on site that day. I'm really excited about that, and show kids how and what that pathway consists of as well. Now, with this Digital Edge TV show, how does it benefit the trades? Well, it gives them promotion. They can use this for their own promotional values in PR and HR work. So it's a tool they can use as well.
Well, it magnifies and it duplicates what they're already doing. I mean, most of these large companies have recruiting people, and they go out and they do these programs because they're trying to recruit and educate people.
Workforce development.
Right. So they're already doing that. What we're doing is we're having them come together in a fun, entertaining. And it is entertaining. That's one of the things Jeremy brought up when we were talking about this. He's like, I've never seen anything like this. It's actually fun. Yeah. We do live interactive games. It's pretty cool. And it's educational, of course. But then what we do is we package that together. So we say to potential educators or anybody for that matter that wants to dig in deeper, hey, watch the show. Here's the quiz that quizzes you on your knowledge that you gained from the show. Here is the follow-up activities you talked about. So we actually write a brief basic curriculum at a high school level that an educator could use to walk their students through doing further, deeper dives into career exploration in those pathways.
Right.
So it's a pretty cool model. I'm excited about it. I can't wait to get out there and do this and see the reaction of
kids, students.
Well, the leaders in industry, to be able to come in. I mean, you're doing it here. You have them come in here and talk here.
Absolutely. Same thing, just different.
But we're taking it out into the streets now,
right,
which is really, really cool. I'm excited about it, and I thank you for the opportunity.
Well, no, thank you for stepping in with the opportunity.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. It takes a village, folks. It really does. But if you've got any questions on that, you'll get more information here on the show as well as on PutToolsInSchools.org. And we will send out a flyer or a notice of such to industry, and hopefully we get industry. You know, I talk a lot about they've got to help. Well, part of what they helped, and I mentioned it, I probably didn't complete my thought, as I sometimes don't do here on the show, around information and communication. With all the industry involved with associations in this town, you would think the associations could help get the word out. After all, they're the companies that need the help. They're the companies that are hurting and can't maintain schedules because of lack of labor.
Well, that is what the associations are supposed to be doing, correct?
But they
Which
don't.
Which is promoting those industries.
But all I'm asking is we need help to get the information out right. there. Collaboration over competition. There is no competition going on here. There are no winners. The only winners we're going to have are students, our youth. Collaboration over competition. Industry, in closing, we need your help. We need your involvement, please. And there's various ways. You don't have to deal with me if you don't want to. I got other people's.
You got a great team, man. I'm impressed with what you guys are doing. I really am.
Well, I am so grateful.
Yeah.
And just so thankful to all the people that have stepped up, but it ain't enough.
Mm.
I'm sorry. It ain't enough. We need more people. Okay, let's talk about out of sight, out of mind on houses. I'm going to just start a list here, okay? First of all, and these are some of the things I've talked about for years and years and years on this show, but we're going to kind of wrap it up. We're moving into cooler weather, okay? Cooler weather. I've already reminded you, go ahead and get on Owens Chimney Systems list if you got a fireplace, gas fire logs, hearth issues, fireplace issues, firebox. You need your chimney cleaned out. Whatever the case, give them a call. Okay. Dryers, clothes dryers. Clothes dryers are a big out of sight, out of mind. You got a vent. A clothes dryer is not worth a darn unless your vent's clean.
Mm.
And the dirtier your vent is, the more power energy it's going to take to dry your clothes. Your clothes dryer is a heat element. That's basically all it is. It's a drum run by a motor and a little belt, and it turns that drum, and it circulates hot air through the drum, which takes the moist air with lint, even though you might clean your lint filter, it's still going to take some residual lint, throw it out your vent, and over time it clogs that vent up. Okay, you don't see that vent. A lot of people don't even know where that vent is.
Mm.
And a lot of people don't realize that the flex hose behind your dryer is compressing and restricting the airflow, therefore creating more drying time, making that element work harder, and any heat element are your biggest power users in the whole house.
Mm.
Water heaters, clothes dryers, ranges, any heat element, that's where draws most power, okay? So out of sight, out of mind, have you cleaned your dryer vent lately?
Is that a fire hazard, too?
Yes, sir. And what all right, let's explain the fire hazard. The fire hazard isn't the lint in the vent. It's the overheating element of the dryer.
Oh, I would have thought it was the...
If you take your blow dryer, hair dryer, I know you've done this. You put your hand over the end and watch the element flare up and heat up real quick.
I do that every chance I get.
Okay.
Yeah. It's fun.
Well, a lot of people say, oh, look at the vent. Okay. Your clothes dryer is a large hair dryer. Okay?
Got it.
It's just got a tumbler in it that's drying clothes instead of your hair.
Yes.
It's the same thing. So if you restrict that airflow going over the heat element, that heat element's going to heat up.
It flares up. Right?
It flares up. Hence, fire danger. Because if you've got lint, residual lint, not if you don't maintain and clean that vent, you're going to have residual lint in the body of that dryer that will ignite from an overheated element.
Wow.
And it happens 20, 30, 40,000 times a year in this here country. Okay, that's number one. Talked about attic tents, disappearing stairways, the air gap. Told you about it, Sam.
Yeah.
You know, the gap around the disappearing stairway, if you don't have an attic tent or a way to seal the attic from the living space, every time you're... air conditioner comes on, you suck hot air, 130, 140 degree air out of your attic, and you're going to cool it. Why are you doing that? For less than right around $100, you can buy an attic tent. Install it with a staple gun and a caulking gun. And I've got a do-it-yourself video on my YouTube channel about, I think it's 10 minutes long, and it's how to install an attic tent. It's so darned easy, it's unreal. You got to buy the right size. They got AT1s and AT2s. But go online, attictent.com, check it out. That's going to save you money on heating and air because you're not pulling air out of your attic and energizing it out of your pocketbook. That's what it amounts to. So it works. Attic tents probably are the easiest, most beneficial little thing you can do to your house to save money and give you greater comfort.
So you got to get up in there.
You got to get in the attic to do it.
It's literally like a tent, though, that you can, if you have to get up in the attic.
It zips. It's got a zipper.
That's pretty cool.
Zips this way, zips that way.
Never even heard of such a thing.
Throw the flap back, get up and do your business, come back down, zip that puppy up.
That's
awesome.
Shut
the door and you're good. And it saves a lot of money. Okay. That's number two. Number three. Let's talk disposals. Disposers. Call them what you want.
Garbage disposals.
Garbage disposals, okay? When yours quits, a lot of people say, oh, God, I got to get a new disposer. Well, there's a little button on the bottom, out of sight, out of mind, little button on the bottom of a disposer. And, you know, if you get a disposer and you jam it, you know, something lodges between the turntable and the disposer, you know, the little turntable the framers are on, mm-hmm. Well, it'll sit there and hum and won't work. Well, now, if it's just humming, eventually it's going to trip that breaker, internal breaker, the little button on the bottom of the disposer. There is a button on the bottom of 95, I think all of them. In the middle or somewhere there on the bottom, mm-hmm. There's a button in a recessed area. It's not always easy to find for everybody. But it's not in the center, because in the center is your little wrench where your little wrench goes.
The Allen wrench to buy. I found that one day.
It's called your garbage disposer tool. It goes up in that little hole in the bottom in the center, and that enables you to unjam it.
Yep.
But a broomstick will work, too, from above.
A broomstick?
A broomstick. You get a broomstick, you just wedge it in there against one of the framers, and there are no blades in a dish disposer. They aren't blades. They're framers. They're framers, meaning there's two of them in there on a little rotating plate, and they're free to just pivot and just beat the heck out of whatever you're chopping up.
Hmm.
But you don't chop it. You fram it. You beat it.
So it's just mashing it.
It's just beating that sucker and just tearing it apart. And that's a disposer. Okay. And dishwashers. Dishwashers. Did you know you have a filter in your dishwasher? If it's a new dishwasher, there's a filter in the bottom of it. Have you ever cleaned it? Do you know about it? Well, let me tell you.
That's gross.
It is gross. Stinks, too.
Yeah.
Oh, it's... I've cleaned out a few, and they can be yucky. That's why I'm telling you about it. Why wait till it's yucky? Clean that sucker out, and then a lot of people say, I didn't know I had one. Okay. In the inside of your door, typically, of a dishwasher, there's a nomenclature plate. That nomenclature plate has a model number on it. If you go to Google, and put that model number in there, voila! The specs and everything about that dishwasher is going to come up. And then you can look into tips on custom operation, whatever, owner's manual, right there. Look it up. It'll tell you all about it. But it 9 times out of 10, if you've got a new dishwasher in the past 10, 20 years, it's going to have a filter in the bottom. Out of sight, out of mind, okay? Mm-hmm. And before the break, I talked about sewer gas. One of my friends, Caroline, she called me the other day, and she said, true story, many times, something stinks. There's an odor in my house I can't explain. I said, well, it's more prevalent in the back bathroom. I says, well, when's the last time that shower was used? She says, late June, July, something like that. And I says, well, because of the door opening and closing sometimes and different drafts from the vent lines, it can blow the water out of the trap. And if you don't have water in your trap, like you've got a bathroom and you got a tub or a shower, it doesn't matter, there's a trap below the drain on both shower and or tub. And in the lavatories, the sinks. When's the last time the sinks were used? Because, see, when traps go dry, traps below the sink, if you open the door below the sink, you'll see there's a little U-trap below it. That's meant to hold water. What's that water for in that trap? It's to prevent sewer gas from coming in your house. That's all that trap's for, folks. It's a sewer gas trap. That trap is full of water, which keeps the odor on the other side. Got it? Well, if the water dissipates and goes away, sewer gas is going to come into that room, and you're going to smell it. Keep your traps full of water. Keep them traps full, baby. Now, a lot of people, you don't think of that. Out of sight, out of mind. But sure enough, I told her to open the window, leave the house, shut the door. Well, she said all this. She said, well, I guess I should open the window. I said, yeah, it'd be great. She said, I'll turn the bath fan on. And I said, and run before you leave, though. Fill the traps. Run a little water. 20 seconds. 5 seconds, really. It'll fill the trap up. All right, that's an out of sight, out of mind, and it happens. Sewer gas. Keep your traps full. Okay.
That'd make a great T-shirt.
Yeah, keep your traps full.
Well, sewer gas first.
Yeah, right. Okay, power vents.
Power vents.
Power vents. Everybody says, power vents? What's that? You know them vents on top of your house and roofs in your attic that come on? They're thermostatically controlled.
And they spin, right?
Well, they're whirly birds of old days that did it just by convection heat going out. Okay? They were the old LeManco whirly birds, you know, turbine vents. And they work. And they're great. They still are great. They work good, but you don't see them much anymore.
Mm.
And when roofers roof a house, they just jerk them suckers off and throw them away like they ain't no good. And if a whirly bird had a lifetime guarantee, and it would last a lifetime, because I went to the plant and saw how they were tested and manufactured. But on another note, we're not talking about whirly birds. We're talking about power vents, meaning they use 110 volts. They're wired in your house on your roof to ventilate your attic to keep your heating and cooling bill your cooling bill to a minimum, hopefully, to cool your attic down to a reasonable temperature, if there is such a thing in the dead of summer. But here's where I'm headed. That's out of sight, out of mind. A lot of people don't even know you have them. And a lot of people have them, they don't work, and they don't know they don't work because they're out of sight, out of mind in your attic. Now, after saying all that, how do you know? You get up in the attic, see if it's working. A hot day next week, 97 degrees. They're asking for Thursday, I think. Well, that perfect day, open the attic door if you've got one, and you can go outside and look on your roof and see if you got one. Or you can go in your attic. Remember the old saying that I tell you all the time, get intimate with your house? One of them things, get intimate with it. Find out what's there. Okay, if you've got a power vent and it's not working, it's probably burn up, because they burn up. They only last so long. And after that, the motor will fry itself, quit working, bearings go bad, whatever. But you can replace the motor, just the motor. A lot of people say, oh, God, I got to get a new one. Well, that's going to cost you, because somebody got to get on the roof, a roofer, and take that whole assembly off and put it back on. That ain't cheap. But you can get a replacement motor. They sell them. You can get a replacement motor if you're like a little monkey and you can climb up them rafters and stuff and get up there. I've done it countless times through the years. Okay, power vents, are they working? And if they're not, did you know it? Did you even know you had one? Out of sight, out of mind. Okay, ice maker line leaks. You know, ice makers will have water lines going to them. You can't see them. A lot of people don't even know they're there. You've got one.
Right? I found one behind my fridge, but there's no ice maker in the fridge.
Well, then yours is turned off.
Yeah.
But it's only weird because there's no ice maker.
Yeah, right.
And hence, there's no ice.
Right.
I'm sorry. You can fix that. You know, they sell ice makers.
I know.
You can put them in a piece of cake. But anyway, ice maker line, there leaks. And they do leak from time to time, and they'll just drip, 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 and you can't see it. You don't see the results of it until it's too late, and you pull the refrigerator out, and you see all this kind of funky damage, and you say, why did that happen? I'm just telling you, beware. They exist. Be careful. They exist. And another thing that's out of sight, out of mind, are small leaks under sinks. Drip, drip, drip. You know about leaks.
Yeah, we found that out, didn't we?
Yep.
Twice.
All right, vent dampers. What I wanted to close. Vent dampers.
I have a question.
Talk to me. I'm listening.
I was doing some yard work and clearing out some brush outside the house. And my wife says, what is that? So I cleared the brush out, and there is a plastic, looks like a plastic tube with a lid, like a screw lid on it, buried in the ground.
Oh, I know what it is. That's a clean out. It's 4 inches, about 3 to 4 inches.
A clean out for what?
Sewer.
Oh.
It's your clean
out. Oh, so if it gets jammed up, is that what the guy would use to rotor root out?
Right.
Oh, okay. Got it.
That's exactly what it is.
I got you.
Okay, that's exactly.
Well, now I know.
I'm glad you know.
And there's one out front, too, I found.
Right.
Near
and you're speaking, on that note, your compressor, your AC compressor, is kind of out of sight, out of mind. It's sitting out in the backyard, right? But yet there's leaves all around it from when you don't go out there and clean around. Well, that's costing you money, and it's not operating at peak efficiency because you don't clean around the air compressor. You need to make sure, and you know it wouldn't even hurt to go out there on an annual basis and take the water hose, garden hose, and squirt that puppy out real good. It won't hurt a thing. Just squirt the coils off real good. The leaves around the bottom, take them and rake it away.
Hmm.
You rake it away, you know. And another thing, okay, that's your compressor outside. And we all talk about this many, 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 many times. You can't see inside your gutters. Are they dirty? They're out of sight, out of mind. You know, if it ain't dirty, if you can't see it, it's not there, right? Well, not true. Keep your gutters cleaned out.
Hmm.
You must control drainage and water around your house. Must. Noah?
Oh, that's the guy that built that app, the Kitchen Copilot app I was telling you about.
Oh,
we're
Noah
working
Cole.
With him on this
okay.
culinary program.
Sure. All right. Let's talk to
Great
Noah.
Great guy.
Pull up Noah and let's say, hey, Noah. Hey, Noah. Hey, Noah.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you today?
I am great.
Dr. Noah, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well.
Thank you for calling in. We were just discussing before you came. This has made me think about you. We were talking about the Career Exploration TV show, and I lightly mentioned my affiliation with the culinary program that we're working with, and mentioned your app. And
absolutely.
It was very cool what you said the other night at our meeting with
the orientation
with the new students regarding the empowerment. Ray was talking about this regarding the empowerment that used properly that technology can offer to students. And I think it's great
absolutely.
What you're doing. So maybe you can riff on that for a little bit.
Absolutely. I can go ahead.
Oh, yeah, talk. It's on you. Talk to me.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think these days anyone who kind of ignores the impact of digital platforms in any career or educational pursuit is kind of sleeping, you know, and, you know, you're just accelerating your obsolescence. And I think that the powerful thing about digital tools is really empowering, what we do in the climate in which we are, where things are changing so much. So with the culinary program, I think, anyone going into culinary training needs to have the mindset that they're not just being trained to cook. They are being trained to be influencers. They're being trained to be creators and so on. And the tools that they use to become that include technology. And so I'm really excited about what you're doing, Sam, and, the whole making people aware of other possibilities beyond the core training that they're going through is just awesome. So we come in with Kitchen Copilot, which is an app that we developed, which helps people with meal planning, but is applicable in a training context because, you can upload your recipes and things like that and be able to create community with other students. And then you're really empowered to take what you're doing and put it on the platform and share it with the broader world. You know, one of the things, Sam, which I'm really excited about, I was telling someone, you know, in the 21st century, you imagine trying to open a business in the 21st century using 18th century, methods. So it would be in the 18th century, it would be brick and mortar, and you're opening a location, one location. But in the 21st century, you put an app, you upload an app into the Apple Store, you are available throughout the world. So just thinking about that, shifting that mind, your mindset to say, wow, I can actually have access to a global audience for the things that I'm doing is just such a big shift in thinking. And I think making, people who are going through training aware of that, just what it opens up. So new career paths, yes, you can, and then a bigger audience for the things that you're doing. So we're excited about that. You know,
Let me do this right now. I got to take a break, okay? We're going to put you on hold. Just bear with me here. We'll come back on the other side of the break and talk a little bit more. How's that?
Sounds good.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. And we'll be back with more about your house right after the break and talk more about, well, technology, application thereof.
That'd change if she ever found out about you and I. Oh, but her love was cold. Wouldn't hurt her if she didn't know. Cause when it gets too much, I need to feel your touch. She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus in America too. She's a good girl, is crazy about Elvis, loves horses and her boyfriend too. And it's a long day living in Reseda. There's a
all right, let's do this. All right, we're back. Yeah, let's do it. Dr. Noah on the phone. Dr. Noah, you're back. We're back. You know, and,
yes, sir.
And he's talking about using technology for the correct purpose.
Empowerment.
Empowering.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I think this is the one area, even now with AI coming into play, that we've got to really harness. Where, you know, whether it's using AI to improve health outcomes and things like that, I mean, there's just so much opportunity. But, you know, the whole idea of empowering an individual is so powerful. And last night, I think, Sam, you noticed that, you know, when we started talking about some of these things that the students who had gathered there had perhaps never thought about, you could see their eyes lighting up.
You could see the lights going up. You could see bells ringing. You
it was
see
really
it.
Cool.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because of tools. Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of times people look at some of these things that are new things that are happening with technology, and it's inaccessible to them because of the language maybe that people use, you know, who develop these tools. It sounds so foreign and so complicated and stuff like that.
Right.
But really, all these digital tools are supposed to simplify things for us. And I think that is the powerful thing that's what we're offering, you know, through this platform. You know, Kitchen Copilot, it empowers a person to make decisions that improve their gastronomic choices and stuff like that, but also extends their influence, you know. So that's the powerful thing, you know, and I love that. You know, and marrying that with communication, and Sam does, I haven't even shared this with him, but I was a broadcaster early in my life. I love communication. I produce videos and stuff like that. But there's something about communication, marrying communication with, and that's the world we are living in. It's a communication revolution. I've always right. thought.
Yeah, but you know, Dr. Noah, you say that, and we've talked about it on the show here today. And I preach it all the time to students or anyone for that matter. The most important thing we do every day is communicate. But
exactly.
yet, these kids and students really aren't well versed at communication. They're afraid, and yes, they need to be empowered to communicate better. But technology's kind of gotten in the way there, and that needs to change. And what you're saying and presenting here might be one of those change. Not I say might only if it's embraced and accepted, but it's
definitely
an area for. You know, change, and that's a good
thing. Yeah, isn't it interesting that the very same communication that can really be the solution, you know, technology can actually also make it difficult. So, yeah, reorienting people to understand that technology is about us being engaged and creating community and sharing our passions and so on, that's the goal here, you know. So, yeah, you're not just looking at what am I going to do, being trained to work in the kitchen more efficiently. No, you're being trained to engage with the community, share your passion and your skills. So, yeah, it's powerful.
Well, I appreciate you calling in and talking to us about it, but I've got a question for you.
Yes,
where are you from?
This is a Mint Hill accent, you know. No,
no, no, no, no. I think I know, but I want you to tell me.
Yeah, I'm originally from Zimbabwe.
Okay.
But I've lived in Charlotte since 1995.
Gotcha. Well, I really appreciate you calling in. And hopefully we'll meet and we can talk again.
Absolutely.
Doctor Noah, where can people download your app?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yes. So our app, Kitchen Copilot, is available in the App Store and in Google Play. So, and if you just look for Kitchen Copilot, you can download the app and enjoy yourself preparing this. Over 200,000 recipes, by the way, available through the app.
Are they healthy recipes, Dr. Noah?
Well, you know, this is the thing that we're working on. So this is the first iteration of Kitchen Copilot.
Okay.
We just put 200,000 recipes on there. Now we are actually putting customized recipes on it. And health is a very important thing for us. In fact, down the road, we're going to provide health scoring through the app.
Gotcha.
Where you can help, you know, score all right. Your meals and food.
I hear you. One more question, then I got to let you go. You got a PhD, apparently. You got doctors before your name. What are you a doctor? Yes. What's your doctorate in, sir?
So my doctorate is in transformational leadership, actually.
Okay.
I've always been interested in issues of transformation, but I've had a varied career. My master's, you'll find this interesting, my master's in a totally different field. I was at Georgetown University with Madeleine Albright, was my professor, training to be a diplomat. So I have a master's in foreign service.
Awesome.
And a doctorate in transformational leadership.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great weekend, okay? Enjoy this beautiful weather.
You too, Sam. Talk soon.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Right. Noah. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
And he's gone. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm going to download the app because I'm interested, because I love to cook. And honestly, I want more kids to learn how to cook. And get more nutrition, more nutritionally oriented.
When we were in school, when we were kids, they had a program called Home Ec, and
you
learned how to replace a button and sew it on. You learned how to iron your clothes. You learned how to cook and do dishes. And not anymore.
They want you to be codependent and dumb. Mm-hmm. They've dumbed down our culture.
Yeah.
And it's sad. And I say that with just utter astonishment, because folks, we're all geniuses. We're born this way. We all have the ability to think and act and do on our own.
Well, as you're saying, create.
Create.
You know?
Use our brains.
That's
for that.
What we're for, yeah.
That's what God intended for us. Really. So anyway. You know, we were talking before Dr. Noah, and I appreciate you calling in, about out of sight, out of mind.
Mm-hmm.
I got to cut water bills.
Oh.
We talk about water a lot. You can't live with it. You can't live without it. You know what I mean? Water's a vital, vital nutrient for our existence on this planet. You can't do without water. And what's the other one we can't do? Oh, oxygen. Oxygen and water. Got to have that. Okay.
Good thing we're not getting charged for that.
That's right. But
not yet.
Hose bib leaks. You know, hose bib.
Bib.
Faucet. Hose bib.
Bib.
A hose bib, that's one term. Faucet. The faucet outside. Oh, the water faucet.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
The water faucet outside. A lot of them leak.
Mm.
What do you mean by leak? Drip, 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 drip. But you don't see it. It's out of sight, out of mind. It's outside. I never saw it. I didn't know it was wet over there. A lot of people think, oh, God, I got to call a plumber to change my hose bib. It's old and I need to change it. Wrong. You can fix it. Turn the water off, go into your house, take an adjustable wrench and maybe two adjustable wrenches or a pair of channel locks. Pull out the stem in it. It's got a little washer on the bottom. Now, I say this real easy, don't I? Like, it's not hard, but you can't be fearful going out there to do it. But you can't be Mr. Muscles either, because in some situations you turn it too hard, you break it off, and then you're really going to have to call a plumber. So it's all about finessing and getting the stem out. The stem is the little part that turns. It incorporates that whole mechanism. But on the bottom of it, which turns the water on and closes the hole and turns it off, there's a washer. And your drip is because that washer's worn out and it's not seating well enough to close all the water off, and it's dripping. That's costing you money. So hose bib issues. Have you gone out and looked at them lately? Do they drip? If they drip, they can be easily fixed. If you want me to fix them, call me. Yeah, it'll cost you around $100, but I'm going to come fix it. I don't go many places anymore that it ain't going to cost you $100. Just a sign of the times. I'm sorry. If I come out there and don't do anything, but I talk a lot, you'll still get charged $100. Okay, because when you get...
Well worth it, though, Ray. Well worth it.
I give you a lot of stuff.
You really are a wealth of knowledge.
I promise you, I'll give you things that you'll take with you and use, okay? Now, drippy faucet, what I mean, your kitchen sink. Mm-hmm. How many times do I go in the kitchen sink and see a drip, drip, drip? You can fix that, folks. That's costing you money. That isn't out of sight, out of mind. That's not out of sight, out of mind. You see it every day, and I don't understand why you don't get it fixed. Now, let's go to one more thing here because times are rushing in here. Yeah, I don't have time. Never mind. The flapper valve is where I was going next, but I got to go. Sam, thank you, brother.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me in.
We'll talk soon. I appreciate you coming in last hour. And I hope the show gave you something. I know I preached a lot, but good God, somebody's got to do it. You know, well, I'm chosen. I'm the chosen one. I don't mind telling you about it. Ray Terry here on About Your House every Saturday morning. Now go spread some love. Make it a great day. Absolutely beautiful weather. Rain's coming. High temps coming. Get ready for it. A hot week ahead. You kids, be safe. You people out there, buses hitting the road Monday. Let's be safe. Be cautious. Take care of our kids. We love you all. Come back next week. My buddy Andrew Cole, Song Dog Wildlife, in the house. Bye-bye.
Being in love with someone, yeah.